And so, in many ways, that is what we're here to do, is to, well, in all ways, go inside and find our God, find the truth of our God, and find the truth, ultimately, that our God, oh, thank you so very much, Reverend, is always within you, and ultimately is you. So, we continue on our with our series, Happiness Has No Ending. Well, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks back, I talked about finding a list that really, I think, encapsulates bliss in many ways and how to obtain it. You know, the reality is that it's already within us. We just have to stop blocking it. And so the series continues on as we find various ways to stop blocking our truth and stop blocking our roads to ultimate bliss. So today we're going to talk about bliss. And that is finding and moving within, okay, hold on, self-inquiry. Now I say hold on because every time someone talks about self-inquiry, I think most of us kind of shudder. Because most of the times we don't want to look within ourselves. There's so many dark spaces, many cobwebs, many places and things that we just don't want to look at. That's why we keep it inside and hidden, yes? Well, in actuality, this isn't that type of talk today, but no, you guys know me, I will go there again. This self-inquiry stops the mind in its tracks and puts you on the road to this happiness and bliss. Takes you to nirvana, takes you to bliss. Now, I want to continue to remind ourselves here in America, in the East, we kind of continue to think of nirvana and bliss as having a drug-induced sensation of happiness, where we're just kind of out of our minds and aren't in a reality of sorts. And a spiritual truth can get you there, but we're not talking about being blitzed out of your mind and not being in reality. No, we're talking about finding reality right where you are. It is a contentment. That is what bliss is, a contentment of being happy right here, right now. And on this earth, we have everything that we need to find our happiness. Not only find it, to be in that happiness. And so one of the best ways that we find our happiness is this sort of existential looking for existence. You know those questions, you know, who am I really? To whom are these thoughts coming to? Who are these thoughts coming from? Who is having this experience right now? You guys know the ultimate questions, those life questions that we deem are too hard because they're mind-blowing. Either we go into blitz because they blow our mind and our mind just kind of shuts down and we kind of go, or we get a headache because we're too tired of trying to find those answers. But the reality is that those answers aren't hard answers. Those questions and the answers that answer those questions lead you ultimately to the bliss. I want to share with you my experience with those questions in my Buddhist training. Usually at least in the Zen Buddhist tradition, which I'm a part of, I have to say I haven't really studied Tibetan, Mahayana, all the other traditions. I'm just Buddhist. But I think they kind of go similarly when you go to a retreat. You go to a retreat, usually 2, 4, all day, a couple days, all week. And you're blessed to sit with your teacher. Usually your teacher doesn't usually give you the time of day until you go to a retreat where you can ask them questions. And so while you're sitting, maybe walking, you're called in and you have a panel, your teacher and 2 elders. And the first question they will ask you is, who are you? And usually the first response I have found is, well, I'm Crystal Muldrow. You'll get a ding of a ring of a bell, and you're asked to leave. And you kind of wonder, you go, at least I did, I know other people who have gone through this, go, I don't know if that was the right answer or not, but I was just asked to abruptly leave, so I'm kind of guessing not. But I will find out. So depending on how large the retreat is, eventually you'll come back around to you. And you'll sit down in your pose. Nice if you can do a lotus, but you'll sit down, you'll look at the panel again, and you'll find out the answer to the question when they ask you again, who are you? Now, focus along with me. I'm sure that most of you are going through this in your mind, trying to answer the question yourself, yes? So probably about this time, you're probably going, well, if they didn't like my name, your brain starts going. You start going, well, you talk about your occupation. You say, I'm a woman or a man. You might talk about your name or where you're born or something like that. But what do you find? You find your mind is constantly engaged, yes? And I will tell you that normally with all that, what you will find is a ding, thank you, you may leave now. Because the reality is that by noting these questions and these koans, these interviews that you have, allow us to notice what our mind does in response to these questions. They allow us to see how our mind expands and starts playing tricks to you. The reality is, once we really get to a deeper answer, we will truly find out that ultimate existential question, why are we here? So I will tell you what the answer is. Do you want to know what the answer is, the true answer that won't have you go ding and move you to the next question? No? Well, for those who want to know, I ask you to ask me, who are you? I am a minister sitting on the sanctuary giving my talk. That's exactly who I am, right here, right now, in this moment. See, the beauty of these is that it gets you out of your mind. It gets you. I am a minister. I am sitting on a stage, and I am giving my talk. Thank you. And ultimately, that is the supreme answer to who you are. It takes you out of your mind. That practice gets you in this present moment, focused right here, right now, not doing mind games, because the beauty of these riddles shows you how your mind is acting up and acting out constantly. Because that's what we do. In all honesty, that is how we are trained to do. But the self-inquiry component of ourselves moves us out of the thoughts, our feelings, all those things that people have told us we are, who we told us we are, and tell us about the truth of this moment of who we are being. And ultimately, in the self-inquiry, it's about who you are being. And it's also more than that. See, that's the Buddhist component. Because Buddhism is just really about being right here, being right now, and moving away, at least the Zen component of it. It's getting yourself out of that monkey mind and just recognizing the truth, because the truth is in this moment, here and now. The truth isn't in your history of who you are. It'll explain how you got here and how your character became what it is. But it isn't who you are. So there are more to you than practicing and to having a non-attachment to just getting it. Once we realize that, when I'm talking about getting it, I'm talking about getting you. Once we realize that we are already everything that we need to be, and we don't need to get anything, we are free. Now, many people are like, okay, so that Buddhist mumbo-jumbo again. But it's as simple as that. Once you realize that you just have to know the truth of who you are, you need not get anything. Once you find that you are trying so hard to be, to get, you've lost it. You have cut off the flow of divine consciousness flowing in. You have separated yourself from the truth of who you are. You have placed walls up. You have shut the door. And many of us have done that. This is no woulda, shoulda, coulda thing. This is no blame or shame. This is a realization that once we move into the who said that, who am I asking these questions to? Who are these questions coming from? What is this? Moves us deeper in awareness. And the less we run away from the deeper aspects of who we are and turn our attentions and the focus on just realizing we're everything that we need to be, then that will be the truth of where we're supposed to go. When you turn on your attention on these questions, you truly become free. You know that you are a divine spiritual being without boundaries, without borders. Those doors and those windows and those walls you put up, there are false realities you find. The more you move forward within the self-inquiry, you will find that you need not have these walls. Because the truth is that the greatness of who you are is so beautiful, so divine, that you need not run away from it. And so who is this truth? The truth is that you are a divine spiritual being. The truth is that you are spirit, free, buoyant, unencumbered, only encumbered and heavy by our own thoughts, by our own limitations. It is time for us to be free. And the questions of the self-inquiry allow us in to move, to recognize that we are one. Scripture for today is from Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. So metaphysically, you'll find that Charles Fillmore refers to the Lord as the activity of the spiritual I am at the ruling consciousness. The ruling consciousness being the spiritual consciousness, the super consciousness. The spirit, the Lord is our divine consciousness, that creative power within us. So this scripture says, let us examine and probe our ways. Let us go into a self-inquiry, and then let us return to the truth of ourselves as the Christ that we are, the truth of the Lord that we are, that creative substance that is no longer just creating abstract falseness of the world, but creating the truth of who we are here to be, greatness, here to be light, here to be love, here to manifest greatness in all aspects. And it is ours to do. In our unity principle, number two, it says that we are spiritual beings created in God's image. We are the Spirit of God. And then God lives within each and every person. Therefore, inherently, we are good. Can I say that last part again? Because we don't realize that. We don't recognize that. Inherently, we are good. Let me change the word good. I'm going to expand on that. We are great. Each and every one of us. I don't care. You don't need to tell me about the mistakes that you've done. And when I say each and every one of us, yes, I'm talking about the tyrants of the world. I'm talking about people that you don't love, people that we can look back in history and say, how can that person have the divine? How can you, Reverend Crystal, tell me that that person is divine and have the love of God? Well, I'm standing here today and telling you that each and every one of us is spirit. And initially, innately, the truth of our being is that we are great. The self-inquiry, that moving in, that moving up, that moving out, allows us to connect with that Christ itself, allows us to connect with the truth of our being. And the reality is, the reason why we don't do it is because our mind, our ego, will not get it. It's too small of a container to grab hold of the truth of the grandness of each and every one of us. You know, if you look back in history and you look back at the people who have used the power falsely, they got it. They got the truth and the grandness of who they were. The unfortunate thing is that they misused the power, the God-given power, the God-given creativity. That's what scares us. Every time we talk about the truth of us, talk about how grand we are, we go to those dictators. We go to those people who have misused the powers, and we go, I don't want to be that because I've seen the history. I don't want to be that because I'm a, and we go back, we don't, even here in unity, we don't want to go to the consciousness, but something within us, in our subconscious, that goes back to I'm a lowly human, apt to make mistakes. I can't control it. I am here. I'm going to misuse the power. The truth is, you will only misuse the power if you deem that you're going to misuse the power. Recognize yourself at the truth of your being. Recognize the people who are Christ-like, who are Buddha-like, who are Brahman-like, who say, I am the truth of God, and I am here to share it with you. Call them teacher, call them guru, call them your neighbor. Grab a hold of the various people and know that you and I, we are the people who bring light into this world. We are the people who understand our Christedness. We are the people who say, I will use the power of God by knowing who I am, by going through the self-inquiry and understanding that I am the God. I am innately the truth of the being, because if we pray and talk about God is everywhere present, every ounce of us is God. And we are scared to grab a hold of that. And yes, I will agree that one of us doesn't encompass or make up all of God, because God is infinite and we are finite. But within this finite body, within our finite consciousness, God reigns supreme only if we let it. And once we start asking these questions, going deeper, moving forward and saying, who am I? Who said this? Where is this coming from? And freeing yourself from the boundaries of mistakes, freeing yourself from the inadequacies that the humanity wants to place within us, and speaking truth to yourself and not being afraid to step in to our greatness. You will find bliss. You will know bliss. Because this is the truth of who we're supposed to be here on this relative world. This is the truth of our being. And one of the ways that we move forward in that is by practicing the stillness, releasing ourselves. And the stillness, I mean meditation. And I know sometimes it seems hard. Sometimes it is hard to free ourselves from that mind that continues moving. In Zen Buddhism, and I think in most meditative practices, meditation isn't about getting anything. It's about taking away. It's about releasing and letting go and just being, capital B, being within your connection with spirit, God, whatever you want to call God, Allah, Jesus, Brahman, whatever it is, that sweet peace that is absolute. That sweet peace where is a great spiritual creativeness that will allow us to create greatness within our lives and within this world. It's a matter of just sitting down and doing what we do here every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday. Just sit and free ourselves from all that chatter and recognize our connection with being. I was blessed, and I'm going to use this example because this is actually in all meditative practices, but I was blessed to be invited to an Art of Living lecture workshop that I did a couple months ago. And in the meditation, I loved this, and I invite you because it really pinpoints meditative practices. The guru that was there said, when you go into meditation, take a couple seconds to do three things. A couple minutes to do one, a couple minutes to do the second, a couple minutes to do the third. And so I invite you to utilize this because inevitably, even in the Zen practice, this is what we do, but this verbalizes it. First thing, And while next time you go into your meditative practice, well, the first thing is not to say, I can't do this, I'm forcing myself to do it. That's the first thing, actually. Relax. If it's your first time doing it, give yourself 10 minutes. Increase it. This is about releasing and letting go and just going into the being. First thing that in the art of living, expect nothing. I know it's counterintuitive. Here in America, we expect all. And even in unity, we say, you can have it all. But the ultimate word is expect. Too many times when we go into meditation, we expect to be at peace. We expect the bliss. We expect this. And as soon as we sit down expecting something, what happens to your mind? Sit down expecting nothing. Don't expect bliss. Don't expect monkey mind. And just chant that. I expect nothing. Second thing, do nothing. I know, very simple. Expect nothing, do nothing. You're not doing the doing of creating peace in your life. You're not doing the doing of meditation. You're just right there. Do nothing. Which is hard for us to do, isn't it? That's the problem with, you're saying, well, that's what my problem is with meditation, Reverend Crystal. So I want to do something. No, you don't have to do anything. Free yourself of the having to do anything. That's one of the things I love, is doing nothing. And I know in America we are taught that doing nothing is a waste of time. I cherish it. I do. Because whether in meditation or just sitting on my couch, scratching my nose, and being a bum, it's delicious. It is. It's sweet. You realize, when you get to my age, I sound like my mother and my grandmother at this age, that everything gets done at its own time, especially when you're connected to God. The more you meditate, the more you take time to be in that beingness, you realize that everything gets done because your mind is clear. You become more efficient. Third thing, this one's the tough one for Americans. I am nothing. Because we're used to hearing that you're nothing and it being a negative thing. This isn't about negative. This is actually saying that I am not my body. I am not my mind. I am not anything that separates me from the greatness and the joy of God, that separates me from anything or anyone. It actually allows you to be at oneness with all of being. So go into self-inquiry. I invite you to go into those esoteric questions and don't be afraid of them anymore, going, oh my God, what did I just do to myself? And realize that the more you do that, you shut down your ego and you simply move into that which you are. Spiritual being, manifesting in this material world. I'd like to end this with an Upanishad quote of instruction. Like two golden birds perched on the self-same tree, intimate friends, the eagle and the self, capital letters. Anytime I say capital letters, that means divine. Self-dwelling in the same body. The former eats the sweet and sour fruits of the tree of life, while the other looks on to detachment. As long as we think we are ego, we feel attached and fall into sorrow. But realize that you are the self, the Lord of life, and you will be freed from sorrow. When you realize that you are the self, supreme source of life, supreme source of love, you transcend the duality of life and enter into the universal state. Beloveds, I invite you to move into a self-inquiry. that is loving, that shows you that the truth of who you are is divine. And with that, let us say our affirmation together. I have all it takes to create, nurture, maintain, and sustain satisfying relationships with myself and others. Self-inquiry allows you to form a beautiful, genuine, loving relationship with yourself. And who is your true self? Christ, God. I have all it takes to create, nurture, maintain, and sustain satisfying relationships with myself and others. God bless you.